Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Okay, who's tired of fasting or cleanses that just leave you hungry and exhausted instead of rejuvenated and energized? Well, Prolon is the scientifically proven meal plan solution you've been waiting for. Prolon is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. But Prolon isn't a diet. Prolon is science, based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. And this all starts with Prolon's 5-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. I did it for 5 days because I've had the absolute hardest time with straight fasts for even 24 hours, and it was a game changer for me. So right now, Prolon is offering Keeping It Real Conversations with Jillian Michaels listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Just go to prolonlife.com/Jillian. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian. What's the easiest choice you can make? Soup or salad? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From your online start to your first 1 million orders, Shopify's there to help you grow. No matter what your product is, they can help you sell it everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, Shopify can help you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average than other leading commerce platforms. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Jillian, all lowercase. Just go to shopify.com/Jillian now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Jillian. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
All right, everyone knows by now how much I love Skims underwear because I mentioned them a ton and I've been wearing them forever. I mean, I guess specifically a year and change. That's like forever in my life. If I can stick with something for longer than 30 days, it's forever. So this is big for me. And let me tell you, they are worth the hype, from the support they give to their amazing shape. And best of all, they're super comfortable. Whether it's the weightless scoop bra, the fits everybody plunge bra, the fits everybody t-shirt bra, I just get them in sand. You don't see them under anything at all. They're awesome. They're comfortable. I don't even realize I'm wearing them. They go with everything. So shop Skims bras at skims.com now, available in 62 sizes from 38 to 46H. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. So after you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows.
You're listening to The Jillian Michaels Show. Word!
Manus.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we've done a segment.
Yes.
On gratitude.
Oh.
And I realized that, like, here's what's kind of interesting. I remember years ago, you remember that book by Khalil Gibran called The Prophet?
I've never read it, but
you'd love it. It's so Manus.
Really?
Oh my God. It's like Manus all day long. And it's like, you can read it in like 30 minutes.
It's called The Prophet.
Okay. Yeah.
I actually have it if you need to borrow it.
Oh, you're reading that stuff? It's like 1970.
We had to read it for one of my classes in college.
Oh.
I didn't, but I've got it.
Anyway, he talks about emotions and like why we have these emotions and these tragedies. And I remember there was a part about sorrow when he's like, the tears are something that like carve out. Hang on, let me find it exactly because it illustrates sort of what I want to talk about. Hang on, Khalil Gibran, sorrow. Hang on, quote. Are you ready? Here it is. Hang on. Okay. Your joy is your sorrow unmasked. And
your joy.
Hang on.
Let me keep going.
Hold on. Okay. So here's the thing about gratitude. The reason I'm... Oh, she's chewing the headphones. She's on the phones, girl. She's on the phones. She had the phones.
She's chewing those, them?
She's on the phones again. She'll eat those whole. I'm not kidding. You think I'm joking.
Okay.
Bonds will eat those phones.
Okay, Bonds, you're going to have to go on the thing. Hang on.
Oh, it's going to be pissed. It's not going to go. No.
What I really love is how close my face is to bonsai shit.
She won't go. No. Come here, bonsai doodle. Yes, my sweet little bug bug. Mwah. Come here. Okay, so the segment is about gratitude, and here's why. I've been looking at the world a little bit differently lately, and I know that people always talk about, like, oh, be grateful. And sometimes, you know, you hear these this stuff over and over, and it starts to sound like a platitude and a cliche, and sometimes you're just having a really bad time and something bad's going on and you're like, I don't feel like being grateful. I feel like being upset. I feel like being angry. I feel like being hurt. And there's a time for all those emotions. But I remember years ago reading this book, The Prophet, right? And this guy, Khalil Gibran, talks about how the negative emotions always give way to the positive emotions if you allow it to.
Okay.
So the other day, Heidi had discovered this, apparently a gosling, which is like a baby goose.
Yes, I believe that would be a gaggle of goslings.
Yeah. Running across Canaan Canyon, alone in the road, right?
Yeah. They do that.
They do?
Well, it's just...
What's there a goose doing in Canaan?
It's just, it's birthing time. So all these little babies, and either when a mom and the papa, because usually the mom and the papa geese will stay together. If it gets separated or something, it might have gotten, didn't keep up with the gang, or it got, tried to get taken away by a hawk or something.
Well, it's running across Canaan, which is a huge road, canyon road in Malibu. She pulls over, puts him in a little bag, because that's all she's got, little paper bag, takes him home, and ironically, like, what are the chances, right? She's got a brand new incubator because she ordered a bunch of chickens and ducks, again, online, and she's, like, they're all in the living room, they're all, a few days old, and we've got a pond and the whole thing, we have ducks, and she just, it just... And I thought, oh my God, like...
Did it blend in?
No, it's in there. It's sleeping with my dog on the couch. It's... No, I'm not joking. Look at her Instagram, Firelight Farm. There it is. Sleeping with my pit bull on the sofa. Pull that up for me, will you? Yeah, I can pull it up. So, yeah, right? And it's like, there it is swimming in the pond with the ducks. It's in the incubator with the chickens. And I know I'm talking about, I know this is a gosling, right? But it, here's the thing. I thought to myself, I texted her and I was like, God, that's the luckiest little gosling in the whole wide world. And yet, on the other hand, you're like, well, maybe it's not, right? It got separated from its parents. Maybe its parents got eaten by a coyote. And it brought me kind of back to where I've been at lately, where it's like, when bad things happen, I'm still able, now at this point in my life, to look at the part where I'm lucky. To look at, like, well, okay, this happened, but this came out of it,
mm-hmm.
right? And I realize that so much of life is about attitude, and I don't want to tell you not to be angry, and I don't want to tell you not to be sad, because we're meant to have all those feelings. But I think it's your perspective on the feelings that's really important for making them matter.
Okay.
So I'm going to read. This is on joy and sorrow, Khalil Gibran. This is from The Prophet. Your joy is your sorrow unmasked, and the self-same well from which your laughter rises was oftentimes filled with your tears. And how else can it be? The deeper that sorrow carves into your being, the more joy you can contain. Is not the cup that holds your wine the very cup that was burned in the potter's oven? And it's not the lute that soothes your spirit, the very wood that was hollowed with knives. When you're joyous, look deep into your heart and you shall find it's only that which has given you sorrow that is giving you joy.
Okay.
And he goes on.
But he's always finding the... He's going
he's
back
showing
and forth.
How they're flip sides of the same coin.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, it's like... He goes on and on. It's... But the point is that you don't have joy without sorrow. And he's right. Like, think about it. Like, the person that breaks your heart is the person that filled your heart.
Mm.
You know, I mean, and conversely, you know, a lot of times out of tragedy is birthed meaning and purpose and great things if we can find a way through it. But I really wanted to just sort of take a look at things in our lives right now and have a moment. I know this is super cheesy. It's not me per se, but I do think, like, what are you grateful for right now? Like, there's something going on in my life that was kind of a bummer, and I was like, all right, well, this is a bummer, but luckily the situation that happened, I have other things in place so that I was able to manage it as best as possible, right? And I was like, well, I'm very lucky to have this and this and this and this and this going on so that I can handle that better. So, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't just look at it as like, oh, it's happening to me. I look at, like, okay, what can I learn from it? And subsequently, like, what things happened around it that I'm lucky to have? A friend that called to help me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I do.
And I think we get so caught up in feeling like victims because, by the way, a lot of times we are victims. We're victims of a universe that's out of our control. For sure. Man, things happen that are crazily unfair. But how do you cope with it? Do you let it sink your ship? Or do you let it make you wiser, smarter, stronger? And again, I know I'm talking in those platitudes and I've heard people do that before. And I'm like, oh, God, shut up. Stop. But just let people be sad.
But a lot of times you have to chuck. It's in hindsight sometimes. Like, sometimes we don't realize what the good of that situation was until... we get away from it.
Like, no, you're not wrong. You're right.
I think it's really hard to feel those both, what he was talking about.
Which, at the which same
so,
time.
Yeah, which you, so he so beautifully said. That's a tough one to evolve yourself so that you can. I don't know.
But I mean, I feel like it also, it goes back to think like showing the dichotomy of it. Because if you never had sorrow, you wouldn't know you were joyful. If you never
yes,
had joy, you
yes.
would never know you were sorrowful.
I remember reading something about like, without there being evil in the world, there wouldn't be good. Like, okay, you, okay. So horrible tragedies occur every single day. Manchester. Okay. I know, Banzai. And you see this heinous act, right? Of the very worst parts in our humanity coming out. But conversely, you know, I remember seeing an image of a homeless man cradling a woman who was injured. I think she was dying. I couldn't actually. I was like, okay, off.
Yeah.
It just was too upsetting for me. But the juxtaposition of another person not running, right? And being there in that moment for a total stranger. Like, only out of a tragedy was born that kindness as well. Like, it's the Mr. Rogers, right? Look for the helpers. When horrible things happen and the world seems evil and unfair, look for the helpers. Because that's where you will find, you know, you'll see evil, but you'll also see greatness and kindness.
Yeah.
You got to see both. I'm not saying see only one. A lot of people, a lot of these gurus are like, well, you know, you should look at this. This should be your perspective. I'm saying, hey, and I think the reason I never was able to buy that message is because they didn't leave room for feeling like a victim and being angry and being hurt. It was like, well, no, you know, you're not looking at it right. You're ungrateful. I think you got to look at both.
See, I think kind acts have been going on since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
It's just for some reason now we're noticing it.
We take it for granted because it's not the thorn in your side.
Well, it's just, and why wouldn't that man soothe that woman? You know what I mean? But we're so, sometimes we're just so shocked by that. Like, what happened? What happened to us that we're shocked by that? Why can't that be a normal thing to happen? That's what I don't understand.
I think a lot of people in that particular case was talking about it was a homeless man who was soothing the victim at this point. And it's like, why is he taking, like, he's not even considering what position he's in.
He's not running for safety, getting out of there.
Right.
But, I mean, he's also a victim for a different circumstance. So, basically, he's putting aside all of his adversity to help someone who's
else.
In trouble.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not suggesting that you should be a martyr. All I'm saying is, I think that was my problem with these, like, happiness people. Is that I got the impression that they were like, well, you should, happiness all the time is within reach. Just choose it. It's like, no, it's not. No.
No.
Shut up. You're selling a false promise. And then it also makes you feel like if you're not happy all the time, or made me, I can only speak for myself. It made me feel like if I'm not happy all the time, like I'm not grateful or I don't have gratitude. And I just couldn't, I was like, what a message of bull. But I think that, for me, I can only speak for myself. I think that it's like, yes, I do get angry about things that are unfair. I do get horrified by the evil in the world. I do feel like a victim sometimes. I am ungrateful sometimes. But at the same time, I am starting to see how lucky I am to have everything I have and to focus more on seeing the situation as like, God, was I lucky. Instead of, you know, being that little duckling. If you're the duckling, right, it's like, oh my God, this woman found me, pulled over on the side of the highway, has a bunch of baby ducks and chickens, an incubator, two huge coops, and I now live on a 7-acre farm. Because she called the wildlife, Malibu Wildlife, and they said, well, he's not injured, and they wouldn't take it.
No, that's right.
They believe that.
I'm not surprised.
Heidi was pissed. It was the first time I've ever heard her swear. She said a-holes in her text. Effing a-holes. She was so mad. Yeah, and we like Malibu Wildlife, but I don't know. Anyway,
back to what you were saying about happiness. So I think that the reason why people don't want you not to be happy is because then they can be happy if you're happy. Like, because people don't know how to handle sadness.
No, they don't.
They don't.
Oh,
know,
my God.
They don't want to be around it. So it's just like, oh, just they either get away from it or so that's why I think that's why I think there's so much pressure to be happy for the other person.
I like excel in that. And I tell my friends, I'm like, look, I'm oblivious, man. Like, you gotta, and I used to tell this to all my old contestants. I was like, when you go home, you know, a new batch of individuals and triage come in. And that's where I'm focused, right? Like, if you don't toss up the white flag, like, I don't know, you're in trouble. But when you're like, hey, you know, I lost somebody, or hey, I'm going through a breakup, or hey, I'm having fertility issues, then I'm like, oh, you know.
You know where to kick it in.
Yeah, I can kick, yeah. But if you don't tell me, no, I get oblivious, I get selfish, I get self-absorbed. But if you tell me, like, that's when I sing, man. That's when I'm like, come over to the house, like, come have dinner. Like, that's really where I think I'm my most comfortable. Don't know what I, because then I can kick into gear, right? Then I can be like, oh, this is where I'm good. This is where I find value in
it's
myself.
It's your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
It
yeah,
is.
But most people, you're right, they don't know how to handle it. They don't know what to say. And yeah. And you know what? I do try to fix a lot, and people hate that. They're like, stop fixing, just listen. You know, and that is a problem of mine. It's hard to not be able to fix.
Well, it's what you're meant to do. That's what you've been doing for all your years, is you fix.
I do wish I could just listen sometimes, you know?
I do too.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Listen to this.
Oh, my
God. What did you eat today?
I don't know what's wrong.
The real reason the plane had
that's
to turn
right,
around.
That's what I said the first time.
Oh, my God.
I don't know why I did that. That something just came over me.
It wasn't even her butthole.
It wasn't?
What do you mean?
You think it was the down... the, I don't know. I think it was the bum.
Was it?
No, we were done then.
Oh,
we're done now.
Yeah, no, we were done.
Look at Bonsai. You ruffled her feathers.
Yeah, it's just
Bonsai
so mad.
I liked it.
Look at her.
Where's my coffee?
It's coming.
Okay.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Why didn't you bring chocolate again? What is wrong with you?
Oh, yeah.
What
I
are
feel
those
shorted.
Nuts?
No, the nuts are for buns.
Oh. Well.
I brought you organic Cheetos. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Manus, stand over here, please.
Oh, I have a bird on my head and a short cord. Okay, hang on.
Come over here. Turn sideways. Okay, stand up tall. Yeah, you have an anterior pelvic tilt. Okay, so do you feel like your hamstrings are tight? You don't even sit that much.
Not particularly.
You don't feel like you have tight hamstrings?
They've gotten tighter because I've been sitting so much more.
Okay, so they're not actually tight. A lot of times, here's the thing, we think we have tight hamstrings, right? But what's actually happening is that we sit so much that our hip flexors
are tightening.
That's what's tightening. And it's tilting your pelvis in such a way that's pulling on your hamstring. So think of it like this. Your hips tilt forward, right? So your pelvis is lifting in the back as the top of your hips are tipping forward, stretching the top insertion point of your hamstrings. So they're being pulled.
And up, so it's like a...
Yes, like a being stretched. They're not actually tight. It's the opposite part that's tight. You need to actually stretch the anterior chain, your quads, your hip flexors, your psoas, and strengthen the hamstrings and the posterior chain.
We sit a lot.
Yeah, we do. So one of the things, so like look in the mirror and see if you've got that. Oh, let me see, Nicole. Stand up tall. Yeah, you have it too. Touch your toes. look at its back. It's so round.
I think Nicole and I have the same thing. We're just a little bit...
Tilt. A pelvic tilt. Tilted, yeah.
But I can put my toes in my mouth.
No, no. Oh, that's a totally different...
Unrelated skill.
What you're into? No, I'm not into it, but I can do flexible on that way, just not this way.
Totally different thing, girl.
Oh,
that's also, it's not that you're not flexible. It's that you have a pelvic... See, look how you're standing. See how you're pushing your hips forward like
yes.
that? Tuck your tailbone under and pull your belly button in. That's the proper position.
But
that's
did you lose some more weight?
No. I wish. Summer's coming.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
So, right, but you're here. Look at you.
I think you could use a sandwich.
You're here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So tuck your tailbone under, pull your belly button in. And when you're standing, make sure you're doing that, right? Put your shoulder blades in your back pocket. Pull them back. Shoulders back.
Oh, that's a good one. Put your shoulder
right?
blades in your back pocket.
Put your shoulder blades in your
and
back
walk
pocket.
Walk on.
Tuck the tailbone, belly button in. And right. be really conscientious of that. Now, at night... Get a foam roller and roll out your quads,
you
your hip flexors.
Roller.
I'm serious. And it doesn't, by the way, it's not actually making the muscle longer. It's telling, it takes like 2,000 pounds of force to really, you can't do that. But what it is doing is it's sending a signal to your brain to tell the muscle to relax.
By doing the foam roller?
Yes.
Really?
So, yeah.
Wow.
So, and then simultaneously, right, you want to be strengthening the posterior chain, strengthening your glutes, strengthening your hamstrings. Because a lot of people, mobility is the most important thing and it's totally overlooked. And I think it's because people don't actually know what it is. Mobility is flexible. We're all still standing. Flexibility and strength together, right? Whereas power is speed and strength together. But when you think about what we really need, flexibility without strength, I mean, you might be hypermobile, but you need to be strong.
Yeah.
To support your bone density, your musculature, to help prevent injury, to build stabilization, right? But you need mobility so you're not pulling, tearing, spraining, straining, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not getting that poor posture. And then the so if your hips get out of alignment, right, and you run, it creates everything from like IT band pain, yeah. low back pain, and it's from sitting. So when you're standing, stand up, think about that posture, right, all the time. At night, stretch out, do psoas stretch. You're going to have to Google it. Unfortunately, I can't show you.
Yeah.
But Google psoas stretch, QL stretch, and roll out your anterior chain.
Sorry, what's QL?
Quadratus lumbar, for crying out loud.
Lumbaldini.
Lumbar, quadratus.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought it was something.
It's quadratus.
I'm still upset about Nicole. Anyway.
Farting?
No, sticking her.
Feet in her
she
mouth?
Just suck her own feet.
I know. Okay. Now, another one. Have you noticed? Okay, hold your arm up. Bend your arm 90-degree angle, okay? So from the shoulder, your arm should go straight out parallel to your elbow. So your elbow should be in alignment with your torso, not in front of your torso or behind your torso. Now, roll your palm back towards the wall behind you. Keep going. Right there. Look how your shoulder, in order to do that, you go like this. You're rotating your shoulder forward. So your arm straight, right? Roll it so that you're...
But Jill, it's impossible.
It's not impossible. It's limited flexibility. It's poor shoulder mobility.
Here, I thought I was being real good by...
From a really tight pec minor. Your chest muscles, right? Oh, look, you're already up here. Drop your shoulder. Lift your elbow. Drop your... You can't even do it. Yeah, you're here. Even to get your elbow up, your trap is engaged. So look.
I'm tense.
You should be here, okay? From go. Okay. Palm facing the ground, right? Arm parallel to the ground. Roll forward. That's as far as I can get without my shoulder rolling forward. That's what's causing... those rotated shoulders. And we're here all day long, right? We're hunched over our computer, we're on our phones. So our pec minor gets tight, pulls our shoulder forward.
Yep.
So again, what we have to do, you take like a little golf ball or like, or like a little massage ball and you put it in your teres major, right? And you're gonna have to Google this.
And
you lean up against the wall so that you get that release, right? Mm-hmm. So you push it into the wall and you hold your shoulder back with your other hand and work on rotating it. So that the whole idea is that your arm then goes from parallel position to a perpendicular position with your palm facing flat behind you, but without rotating the shoulder forward.
You know what we should do? We should take a picture of this so we can post the picture when this segment airs.
That's the problem. See, that's why it's so hard to do your snappies. Because people, it's just words.
I know, they can't
see it. Otherwise, I could do all kinds of neat stuff, like show them how to foam roll, you know, and release their IT bands and all that stuff. But I can't do that this way.
I'm
very limited. So I just have to talk about poop and feet and sex and stuff.
No.
Do you find that one peck is tighter than the other?
Oh, for sure, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And the one that you're probably dominant with. Oh, Nicole, there's your word.
Oh, Nicole, there she is. With. Dom.
Dom, it's my Dom arm.
It's my Dom arm.
Wow, don't need to know what she does with that.
No, Dom.
No, I don't need to know.
No, no,
no.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, we have a very special guest on the show today. And Nicole, would you like to take credit?
I would like to take credit for introducing Jean Gerkoff to you, who is the CEO of Charity Miles.
Okay, go on. Well, do you want to... Hello, Jean. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me, and it is an honor to be here.
So, Jean, will you tell everybody, in a nutshell, what is Charity Miles?
Thank you so much. Charity Miles, it's a free iPhone and Android app that allows people to earn money for charity whenever they walk, run, bike, dance, work out, move with purpose. And we partner with over 40 of the world's top charities, like Stand Up to Cancer,
yep,
who we've got some really cool stuff that we're doing with you for. And we also are supported by corporate sponsors. So all you have to do is get out there and move and work out, and you help to earn money for charity. And so far, our members have earned over $2.5 million for charity.
God, that's crazy. So it works as follows, right? But you go to your either Google Play or the App Store, right? iTunes App Store.
Yep.
You download the app. And then how does it work? You have these 40 charities to select, and you pick whichever you want?
Yeah. Yeah, you can choose any charity you want. You can choose a different one each time, or you can choose the one, same one each time. And so you choose a cause that matters to you. And, you know, we don't have, like I said, we have 40 charities. They're all world-class organizations. So if you care about cancer, we've got Stand Up to Cancer.
Right.
If you care about Parkinson's, we've got the Michael J. Fox Foundation. If you care about animals, we've got the ASPCA. If you care about environment, we've got the Nature Conservancy. So if there's a cause that you care about, it's likely that we have a very good charity that you can feel good about moving for. And then it works like a fitness tracker that, you know, counts your steps or your miles, your movement. And you just press start, and it'll track your movement, and you'll start to earn money for charity. And we're supported, like I said, by corporate sponsors, and they're the ones who are funding it.
So let me be very clear with everyone listening. It costs you nothing. Costs you nothing. Nothing. You download it for free. Simple, quick, easy to use. And every time that you exercise, you raise money for a cause you care about. Now, if that is not motivation, I don't know what is. I want
Thank
to
you.
Know, Jean, a little bit about your story and how Charity Miles started. I mean, I do know, actually, but I want to share it with other people because it's a really great story on so many different levels.
Thank you.
So please tell us,
Thank
how
you.
Did this begin, my friend?
So I started running marathons back in 2002 when I was in law school to raise money for Parkinson's research in honor of my grandfather who has Parkinson's. And that's something I'm sure that, you know, a lot of people have done, whether it's a marathon or a 5K or something like the Train LA event that we're doing, that you're doing in LA that I can't wait to come to.
Stand Up to Cancer. That's right.
And, you know, people move, they do walks, they do runs, they do bikes, and they ask their friends and their family to support them. And that's what I was doing. And I always wanted companies to sponsor me. I always wanted to get corporate sponsors so that I could raise more money, but I'm not a celebrity or a sponsored athlete. So, you know, a professional athlete, so I was never really successful in doing that. But I always had an idea that if I could get enough people together, then collectively we would have the clout of a celebrity, and companies might want to sponsor us.
Right.
So that was always an idea that I had. And when smartphones came out and I started to see how much companies wanted to connect with us through our phones, I had the idea for Charity Miles, which I could get enough people on one side of the phone, and companies would want to be on the other side of the phone. And together we could become sponsored athletes, just like professional athletes, but for charity.
It's such a brilliant idea. And so it sounds so you're a lawyer.
Yeah, I'm a recovering lawyer.
Right. Okay. And then you make this transition.
I was doing the Lord's work as a real estate finance lawyer on Wall Street, really. And
I'm sorry.
But I had this idea, and you know, I just wanted to make it work. I actually had another couple of projects that I'd done, you know, in the meantime, like as I was practicing law, where I was just interested in making websites and apps. And I didn't really know how to code anything. I would just kind of do it out of the box. And I made another app where I hired somebody to make an app. And as you know, making an app is really expensive and really difficult.
Yes.
And I had no concept of that. So I actually made another app. It was called Postcard Petitions. And it allowed you to create with your phone. You'd take a picture, and we would create a real postcard from that picture and mail it to your congressman for you. If you cared about animal rights, you could take a picture with your horse and your dog and your pig and be like, "Hey, congressman, I care about animal rights." And that app totally failed, but it told me, taught me how much. But it taught me how much, you know, how difficult it is to make an app.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what showed me how the developer that I hired to make it was getting paid, you know, hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars by companies to make apps, which, like mine, were really beautifully made and maybe a good idea or not, but nobody was using.
Right.
And that's how I saw how much companies wanted to connect with us through our phones, and kind of all the things in my life came together in this one big thunderbolt moment where, you know, my running for charity, my passion for that, my experience and knowledge that I had gained building that app kind of came together into the idea of Charity Miles.
One of the things that I really love about your story, though, is that it's beyond like, oh, hey, guys, check out this really cool app. What I love is that you went to school to become a lawyer, and then you ended up following a totally different career path that you're so passionate about. And I'm sure you use the skills from law school and being a lawyer in your business now.
Mm-hmm.
But to do what you love, and you weren't afraid.
Thank you.
Or maybe you were afraid, but you still.
I'm afraid every day.
Right. Well, yeah. And you managed to move through that fear to pursue your passion. And then your worst fear happened, and you had a massive failure on your hands. And you still got back up, dusted yourself off, took the lessons, and pushed through with perseverance to do what obviously you were destined to do, which is Charity Miles. And so the lessons there, in my opinion, are so tremendous. And it's kind of what we talk about all the time on the podcast when we're not talking about poop or strange sex fetishes, which has been... Anyway, you don't ignore that, Gene. So it's really about how you do that, right? Like, how do you learn to move through fear and use it as a source of motivation and not an instrument of paralysis in your life? And how do you not look at failure as a validation of incompetence, but rather as a sign of bravery and a learning opportunity? And so I would ask you, can you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think it comes down to something that you and I were talking about on Monday when I was out there in Malibu with you.
I was doing
Gene's
podcast,
guys,
by the way.
Yep,
and,
yep.
And Charity Miles on iTunes and Google Play.
Coming out. You have to have a strong why. And you know, when you have a purpose, like you said, what was your quote? Like, when you have a strong why,
you can
figure out the how.
I stole it, but yeah, I do say it a lot.
And for me, I just had this very strong why of, you know, wanting to make that impact at first for Parkinson's in honor of my grandfather, but then my why has grown and changed so much. You know, from all the other people that have come into my life on this journey, my why has become so much deeper. And when you have that why, you have to figure out a way to make it through the fear and the challenges. Because, you know, that postcard app failing was not the first failure. I went broke during doing Charity Month. In the first year, we didn't have any sponsors because no sponsor would sponsor us. So I sponsored it myself and really put, like, everything I had into the app, and I went broke doing it. So then my wife and I ended up moving in with my parents right before, you know, I had to shut down the business, we got our first major sponsors in the door. that allowed me to keep it going, keep it going. And there's been failures and major setbacks at every step along the way. But, you know, at every time that I wanted to quit, I just saw all the people who were using Charity Miles and the stories that they were sharing with me and how much they loved the app and what it meant to them, that I just had to figure out, and I have to figure out how to keep this going to make it work. And it's so much more than raising money for Parkinson's now for me. It's, you know, we have had four people run across the United States with Charity Miles, and we have...
So incredible.
There's a young boy right now named Noah Barnes. He's 11 years old, and he has type 1 diabetes. And on January 1st, he was standing on the southeastern tip of Key West, so the most southeastern tip of the United States. And right now he is around St. Louis, and the way that he got there is that he walked. He walked from Key West to St. Louis, and he's not stopping. He's going to the most northwest corner of Washington State, walking across and diagonally across the country, and he will be the youngest person by 4 years to walk across the United States. And he's doing it to raise awareness and money for diabetes, and he's doing it with Charity Miles. And the fact that an 11-year-old boy is using Charity Miles on that journey, and I get to be a part of that, I have a very, very strong why.
Yeah,
and
of course.
I'll run through walls to make this work.
Well, you have. And I think, you know, we talk a lot about sacrifice. Like, anything worth having comes at a price,
yep.
Right? And I mean, look at how far down you had to go. And I'm sorry to say, like, when you're we had to move in with my, here you were, a Wall Street lawyer, and then you and your wife have to move in with your family. I mean, tell me something, because I'm just gonna ask you honestly, because I've had massive failures in my life as well, and I find it to be so, like, ego crushing. But I always say, you know, a terrible day for your ego is a great day for your soul. What was that like for you? I mean, what did that feel like? And yet you still were like, no, I'm going to keep going.
Honestly, that was a really dark time.
Yeah.
I look back on it now, and I don't laugh, but like, as that was happening, Men's Fitness came out with an article. I did not know that they were doing this, but they came out with an article of, like, the 10 game changers of the year. And it was like Elon Musk, Jimmy Fallon, Macklemore, and me.
Oh my God.
And I was broke and moving into my parents' apartment.
Wow.
If they only knew. Yeah. And it was a really, you know, all my friends from law school are doing really great. And it was just a really dark time. But at the same point, like, that's when you find out what you're made of.
Yes.
It was like that moment of truth. And in that way, I feel lucky that I have that moment of truth, because I think that if I hadn't taken that challenge, I don't know if I'd ever, you know, know what I'm made of.
Right.
You haven't been tested. That's kind of why, and that's kind of why people do things like run marathons and Ironman. It's, you want to see what you're made of, or at least that's what I started to do. I wanted to see, like, what's going to happen. What am I going to do? What's the story that I'm going to tell myself at mile 21 when I want to quit? You know, I wanted, that's why I got into boxing and martial arts, like you. Like, I wanted to see what I was made of. And I feel very fortunate that I'm able to know that I can face that kind of fear. And you know what? Like, I know that there's challenges that people face that are much more difficult than anything that I've faced. And, you know, whatever sicknesses and other challenges that they face.
It's all relative.
Yeah.
It doesn't even...
It's all relative.
It's all relative. And... I've learned a long time ago not to be like, well, but that person has this, or they're going through that and what have you.
Yep.
No, that's, I mean, it negates everything that you went through. And obviously you went through it for good reasons, and you learned.
For a reason,
Yeah, and you took it and gave it a meaning and built something incredible. And that to me is just such a magical story. And, you know, sometimes when I do stuff like on... Oh, check out this challenge move. And it's like squatting on a body ball. I have people, why do that? I'm like, well, to see if I can. You know, and of course,
he was on the other side.
Yeah, I'm like, look, you know, have a spotter, do it on a mat. But it's like, am I, you know, can I get this? Can I master this? Can I work on my stability? Even though, yeah, no, it's not burning a mad amount of gas. But it's like your marathon moment to see if I can, or, or to kind of push yourself into these uncomfortable spaces. And I think that, you know, look, you have a unique quality. I mean, you're obviously very resilient and incredibly smart as well. But you can be really smart and brilliant, but if you don't have the resilience as well as the passion, you're just not going to transcend. And do you believe that it's something you were born with, something you gradually built over time, or a combination of both?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but I know that I very purposefully have tried to teach myself. I think that resilience is something that you teach yourself, and I think that I've been aware of wanting to build that resilience, and that's one of the reasons that I got into endurance sports and other things like boxing, is that I wanted to teach myself that type of grit.
Right.
That was one of the reasons that I got into it. So I think that it's something that you can absolutely teach yourself. But also it's not transferable, because like the type of resilience that you need to push through mile 21 of the marathon is a totally different type of resilience that you need to push through going broke and moving into your parents' apartment. Right. But there's some parallels there that you can take from one thing to the other. It's just a different type of resilience.
God, that's so true. Ugh. And okay, so I want to know personally for you, what's the next thing that you want to tackle? You run a marathon, just personally, not professionally. We're going to get there. Mm-hmm. Personally, what's the next thing?
Physically?
Yeah.
I did a 50-mile ultra marathon, and then I have in my mind, like, I'd like to someday do a 100-mile ultra marathon, but that's really right now. So, as you know, I have a newborn son, Matt.
Yes, congratulations.
He's 8 months. Well, maybe not newborn. He's 8 months old.
That's newborn.
So I think for me, like the new challenge is like getting the balance so that I'm having the time and the quality time to spend with him and with my wife Abby,
right?
While also you know, growing Charity Miles and still pursuing all the things that I like to do athletically. And I'm very lucky that my wife is also very athletic. She loves to rock climb and do all sorts of things like that. So we have a fun life like that. And being able to teach Max to, you know, the values of being outdoors and active is going to be really fun. So I don't know if it's necessarily like a physical feat or challenge, but really being able to bring that kind of balance and family into the equation as well.
And that's a challenge. Let me tell you, when I do it, deal with all the time. What's next for Charity Miles?
Working with you.
I know.
All the amazing things that we've got that we're talking about. We're co-branding the 5K and the Jillian app. We're doing Train LA. We've got so many great ideas.
Did I jump the gun on that one? Was I allowed to mention?
No. Oh. We can talk about it. We're talking with Thrive Market about doing some really great stuff together. And, you know, what's really amazing is, like, we've got all these amazing opportunities. We've built ourselves to the point where we've, you know, caught the attention of somebody like you. Is amazing to us that, you know, you are interested in what we do, and that Thrive Market is interested in what we do, and that we have the opportunities to work with you. So we're just so grateful for that, and we're really looking forward to all the amazing things that we can do together. And we're so happy to have you part of the Charity Miles family.
Oh my God, are you kidding? I mean,
it's going to be
epic. And so for those of you who either have my app, know of my app, don't have my app, we are our first program is the 5K, right? And we are branding it. It is our Charity Miles 5K. And any cardio program that we're going to create, well, hopefully, Gene, from this point forward, we would like to do with Charity Miles, because
love it.
Why not?
Woo-hoo!
Why not? I mean, why not? Yep. And so for my company, right, it's very important that we are working with companies like yours, or Thrive Market, for example. So now you guys know that's going to be the first one that goes up, which is going to be our 5K. Should be up, and hopefully by the time this podcast goes live, it should be up and ready to rock. And we want you guys training. If you're going to our July 8th event on Saturday morning at the Shrine Auditorium, we want you training and doing your Charity Miles to train.
There we go.
And let me reiterate, the app is free, F-R-E-E. It's free. Costs you nothing. You can use it Android. You can use it on iOS. Doesn't matter what your device is. It takes a second to download. When you work out, you pick your charity It raises money from corporate sponsors. It costs you nothing. Zero.
Right.
There is no reason if you are exercising. Not, by the way, Gene, I got another question.
Well,
what if you're not exercising and you're like a 10,000 step kind of person?
You can use it. You can just walk around. People walk their dogs with it.
Right.
People walk to work with it. You could walk through your day. But I will say something kind of, you're talking about, you said something when we were in Malibu, which really resonated with me about how, you know, when you give people workouts, you give, they're simple, but they're not easy.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing is true about Charity Miles. It's very simple, but it's not easy. It might seem easy. All you got to do is open the app, click a couple buttons, but there's a very, you have to be very purposeful about it. It's a very simple thing to do, but to be purposeful about it and say, today I want to walk for Stand Up to Cancer is a very purposeful action. And that's what I think makes it really special,
right?
Because you are deciding that you want to make a difference today. And with all the other things on your mind, all the other distractions, all the other apps buzzing at you, all the things that you might be thinking about for work or your family or whatever, the fact that you're willing to take that moment and say that you want to walk with purpose today is a very meaningful thing. And that's what I think makes it so special.
I agree with you completely. And I absolutely love the app. And yes, Nicole, I am grateful to you for turning me.
And I am grateful to you as well, Nicole.
I am grateful that everyone's so grateful to me.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Manus.
I'd like to be grateful, too. I'd like to be grateful because I've so enjoyed listening to Gene talk. I love his energy and his...
She was mouthing
Thank
to me.
You.
He's great.
Yeah, you're zhuzh. You got good zhuzh.
He's great.
Thank
and
you.
Gene, tell them the name of the podcast is...
The Extra Mile. We're going to be starting to release it at the beginning of June. We've recorded about 8 episodes so far.
Cool.
They're awesome. Amazing people like Jillian who
of course.
Have a great story to tell and great insight to share at the intersection of health and purpose.
Excellent, buddy. You're the best.
Thank you. Okay. Talk soon. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Forget to email us your questions. We want to talk to you at jillianpodcast@gmail.com.
Guidelines.
Yes.
3 sentences.
Or less.
And a phone number.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye-bye.